tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I'm your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 30 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. And today we're speaking with Isa Borst. Isa is a communications and community engagement lead working with Animal Action Greece on the largest community cat care project in the country. Based on the Cycladic Islands of Paros and Antiparos, she coordinates a groundbreaking trap, neuter, vaccinate, return initiative supported by Battersea Dogs and Cats Home, mapping stray cat populations and building local involvement in humane care. A longtime cat advocate and fosterer, she blends grassroots passion with strategic storytelling to drive change. When she's not organizing neutering campaigns or creating viral cat content, she's likely in the garden, sketching illustrations alongside her rescue dog from Poland and a lively crew of rescue cats. Isa, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much, Stace. It's great to be here with you.
Before we dive into finding out about the work that you're doing in Greece, how'd you get to be so passionate about cats?
Well, my first cat encounter or first cat relationship was through my best friend in childhood, actually. They were a cat family, and I grew up in a very big animal lover family. However, we didn't have any cats, and that's when I first actually started to realize how different cats are from dogs. And Mimi, that was her name, that was my friend's cat. I must have been around like 5 or 6, and I was there for a sleepover. And for the first time, because I was just a kid chasing her around, and one night I woke up and she was sleeping on my bed. And yeah, that's how I fell in love with cats, because I realized the dynamic was so different.
Wonderful. Yeah, it's great to hear all the different stories about how you get to be passionate about cats. And then it's that next step. It's like you're taking it from the, oh, I love cats, I love having them, and then it's now I'm going to do something to help more cats that maybe I don't own, but that I'm involved with, and I want to help cat welfare versus cat ownership. So tell me about your journey from going from, oh, isn't this a great cat, I would love to own cats, to I want to be a passionate advocate for cat welfare. And how did you get involved with trap, neuter, and return?
Oh, yes, it is definitely a journey. It is a very different scenario from being just like a cat guardian. Like I said, I was born an animal lover. I'm originally from Brazil, where we have so many problems with stray animals. I had a neighbor who was a cat hoarder. It took me a while to realize, obviously, the importance of neutering, but we got there. As I was growing up, we understood we had our animals neutered, and I started to obviously make sure I was rescuing and not buying them. So I started very small back in the 90s. And then I moved to Europe. I moved to Europe around 12 years ago, I believe. And it was just after the pandemic that I took a trip to Greece, and I was there just for 3 weeks, and then I never came back. I moved to Germany originally, but then it was on a trip to Greece that I fell in love with Paros, actually, the island where we have a program in. And it was just love at first sight. I was very fascinated by the big amount of animal welfare work going on the island. And I rented a house and I didn't look back. And one day you are feeding kittens out of tiny little hummus empty containers. And then the next day I'm here talking to you, Stacey. So things do move really fast.
So that's interesting. So tell me what life is like on that island for cats. You just said there's so much going on. And maybe some of us here in the States that are listening, and I know we have a very international audience, but we do have quite a few folks here in the United States. And I think it's important for us to learn what's going on worldwide, because community cat programs, we can be a worldwide community. It does not need to be, this is United States trap, neuter, return. This is Greece trap, neuter, return. This is Brazil trap, neuter, return. It's trap, neuter, vaccinate, return, however you want to say it. It all pretty much looks the same. You know, at the end of the day, the results, we want to make sure that everybody is spayed and neutered and that they have some form of identification. So as you arrived, you said during the pandemic, you arrived on this island and you felt there was an animal welfare community. Share a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so exactly. I totally agree with what you said. I think community cat people, we can agree, of course, that TNR is the main thing. But the way that society will play a big difference into how this develops. So I know, for instance, in New York, if you're in Manhattan or if you're in Brooklyn, completely different situations, right? And for us, it's the same. Athens, it's a whole different game. But once you go to the island, the situation is a little bit more similar, which means a lot of strays and a lot of cats. If you've been on social media enough, you've seen these videos of, I go to Greece for the views. The views is like in videos of cats. And it is a reality. They are there. They are around. But I noticed that Paris was very special in the sense of having so many animal welfare groups. I noticed so many of the cats were already spayed and neutered. And that's what made me want to stay. I was like, okay, I want to be a part of this. I tried to ask for help for some kittens that I found that were very sick, and everybody was very welcoming. Everybody was very dedicated. And I was like, wow, I've never seen such a small place with so many groups working on it. I mean, it's far from perfect, but people care. And I think the fact of being an island, it kind of felt like a controlled space. There is a certain limit to it. So yeah, definitely there are many stray cats in Greece. It will vary in degrees depending on where you are and which groups are working in each area. But yeah, it is definitely a reality and it will vary. It can go from a very extreme, difficult situation to a more manageable, which is, I believe, where we are right now.
Great. So tell me about this project. Tell me how it got started. What was the inspiration behind getting this collaborative partnership together? What's the plan? And how do you think that this project will end up?
Yeah, great. So basically, Animal Action is an organization that is actually the oldest animal welfare organization in Greece. It was founded in 1959. And we support many organizations across Greece. So we weren't necessarily working in Paris in the format that we are right now. We were supporting the organizations there. That was obviously before I joined, when I was still just a volunteer. But basically, we aim to really reduce the suffering of animals in general all over Greece. The reason why we decided to support these two islands, which is Paris and Antiparis, Paris is a bigger one and Antiparis is a smaller one right next to it, is that things were working. I think it's a very similar perception that I had before. There were a lot of people getting the work done. There had been a lot of neuterings done and a lot of health treatments done between the years of 2020 and 2022. So it seemed like a great place to start this proof of concept of a bigger program that could potentially be replicated on the different islands. So it felt like a great sandbox for us to develop something bigger.
And do you have specific numbers or target goals? You talked about mapping. So, you know, trying to understand what that mapping means, as well as how many surgeries or how many TNVR cats are you actually striving to do on a monthly or annual basis?
Yes, we have. It's really hard to measure. We haven't fully mapped all the cats on the island. Of course, that's impossible. We have a person that's specialized in that. And it's a difficult job. I joke that it's like the strangest job in the world because, it truly is. Right now, we have an average of around 200 neuterings per month. So the program started in April 2023. And we now entered year three of the program. It is a three-year-long program. So far, we have neutered 4,728 cats.
That's impressive.
That's really good. Yeah, I mean, these numbers are up to April. I still don't have the data from May yet. I'm waiting for the vets to send it over. And we do neutering, microchipping, vaccination, parasitic treatments, and if necessary, other treatments such as teeth removal, etc. Of course, the vaccination will depend a little bit on the health of the cat, so the vet will not push it through if they feel like might be a little bit risky. So it's really up to them.
Yeah. And I know cat counting is a hot topic. We talk about cat counting all of the time. And I'm more of a believer of identifying your human population and finding a baseline of necessary sterilizations to have to support that population so that then you're going to have a maintained level of cats in the community. So it's a balancing act. You're not going to have too many and not going to have too few. And what does that maintenance level look like? So sometimes I feel like the cat counting, people assume you're saying, I've counted 10 cats, therefore there's 10 cats out there. But we know that's not the case. That's 10 cats at that point in time during the day. It's sort of like when you do your own blood work, right? And you're at the doctor's office and they tell you, you know, your cholesterol is X, Y, and Z, but that's just what it is today. It's not what it is tomorrow. It's not what it is the next day. And so the environment may change and may cause the number of cats to change. So it's really interesting, though, being on an island is really a way of creating a very successful community cat program. I know the Galapagos Islands have had a significant TNR program over the years, decades. I think it's decades old now there. And in New England, Martha's Vineyard had a lot of cats and they had a very aggressive trap, neuter, return program for years. And now they still embrace trap, neuter, return, but it's not needed as much as it used to. So I think it's great to use the island model as a contained environment, which you can help with inputting cats, and then cats moving out is a little bit different. But still,
yeah.
Sometimes people will say to me, oh, that's just an island. I'm not in an island. Therefore, you know, what you've done doesn't matter anywhere else. And I will disagree with that statement, but I don't know. Have you run into that comment at all about, well, that won't happen in Athens? Like, can we apply this in Athens, what you're doing in the islands?
Yes, that's a very good point. We have major groups working in Athens, but they will still try to limit their work to a certain area because there's so much you can do, right? You need to narrow it down to a certain point. I'm not super familiar with the goals of their program, if they're planning on moving around. I know that they're in the main city center of Athens, the historical centers. I completely understand that these are different challenges, but I think if you're doing a program and you're documenting things, there are so many lessons learned that can be shared. I don't feel like it's a one-size-fits-all, like it will never be, but for sure there are some learnings that we can help people waste less time and not reinvent the wheel over and over again. So this is a little bit our goal. On our side, being on an island, we have many islands that are in the similar situation. So I think that can work in a much more like framework kind of way. But yes, 100%. That it's not like a perfect one-size-fits-all solution. And going back to the mapping and the numbers, we all, for instance, that's one thing, right? We also started counting cats. And in the middle of this whole thing, we realized that, okay, we're counting cats, but the most important thing is to map colonies. We realized that knowing the colony and mapping their health score, because we do vaccinations and treatments, right? So mapping their health score, do we have new kittens throwing out? Is this a dangerous area? Because these are all things that we collect this data and we can then later use to our advantage if I'm negotiating with a municipality to add, I don't know, road bumps for speeding. I want to be able to say, okay, this is a dangerous spot. We have cat colonies here and this or that location. Or when the municipality reach out and say, we want to install feeders, we already know exactly where this should be. So that's the type of thing that it's important. And that's actually one example of something that we started one way and then we realized, okay, no, let's rethink. And maybe that's something that would be useful, for instance, for another group to know as well.
And that's also interesting that you just said you might share your colony information with the municipality. And I know a lot of people try to keep their information private about how they're taking care of cats. Do you have that concern in Greece?
We do. We definitely do. We know it is an issue. We don't make it public. We know there's a lot of general human cruelty towards animals. But we have a contract signed with the municipality, because that's part of our approach, is just creating this holistic program in which we partner with the local animal welfare groups, the municipality, and the local veterinary clinics. So, of course, we're not sharing this to the public. But if somebody asks us, okay, where should I install a feeder, we will be equipped to answer this question.
So it's a collaborative systems-based model. You have a variety of different stakeholders that are creating success in this project. And you've learned how to communicate with a variety of different groups that might have different priorities, maybe, than other stakeholders. So how do you get everybody to work together?
Well, that's, I think, the hardest part, as you can imagine. But it's the only way we can make this happen, because our goal here is not just to come over and put out like small fires. This was being done very well before. Like, people were doing a great job. The groups were doing an impressive job keeping things under control, keeping things decent. But our goal here is really to work from the bottom up and help change the mentality, help the groups to negotiate better fundings with the municipality. We are in a situation that the municipalities sometimes don't even know that they can apply to certain funding. So this is where we step in. We're really trying to, we're only here for a limited time, right? So we want to make sure that we're building a lasting, sustainable system. So it's kind of like, okay, we have, so it's almost like going to a spa, right? I'm here for 1 week. I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to get my life together. That's the limited amount of time I have. So it's kind of like what we're doing here. We're here for 3 years. We are going to support you. For instance, we supported the groups with equipment. What do you need? They need training. They need professional training. Each group works in a different way, and they're in a different stage. So some groups are like, okay, I really need help applying for grants. And others will say, like, no, I really need help finding volunteers. And this is a little bit where we step in. But for sure, there's a lot of friction between the groups, because the only reason why you have so many, it's because one person wants to solve the problem in a different way. Just to give you an idea. So it's two islands, right? Paros being the major one. And we work with 5 animal welfare groups. So it's a lot. The population of Paros, which is the biggest island, varies between 12,000, 13,000 people. Of course, that gets exponentially bigger over the summer. Some people say it gets like, can be like 5 times bigger over summer. And Tsipras has around 1,200, 1,300 people. So it's really small. And then to think that we have so many groups on top with animal action stepping in to work with them, it's a lot of hands on the deck. So yeah, it's difficult to put everyone in the same room, but we have to just sit together and accept that we are all working for a bigger purpose here.
When we launched the Community Cats podcast, our goal was simple: share stories and strategies to help cat lovers turn their passion into action. But something amazing happened. Our community grew, and so did our mission. Over the years, we've added webinars, conferences, certification courses, downloadable tools, and a whole lot more to support people who care about cats. So it's time for our name to reflect everything we do. The podcast isn't going anywhere, but our overall platform is rebranding as Community Cat Central. It's the same team, the same heart, and the same commitment, just with a fresh new look and even better ways to help you take action for cats in your community. You'll start seeing updates soon, including a brand new website, smarter email tools, and resources that are easier to access and use. We're so grateful to have you on this journey with us, and we can't wait to show you what's next.
Are you a proud cat parent looking for the perfect, affordable healthcare for your kitty? Well, look no further than the Community Cat Clinic, conveniently located in Woodstock, Georgia, just north of Atlanta, and not too far from the Tennessee and South Carolina borders. The health and happiness of all cats are the top priorities at this feline-only hospital. From preventative care, spay, neuter, and vaccines, to specialized and innovative treatments like full-mouth dental, ultrasound, radio, iodine therapy, emergency blockage cases. They've got your cat's well-being covered. For the TNR community and local shelters, they offer easy-to-access, low-cost spay-neuter services and volume appointments. So if you want to do a large TNR project, this is the clinic you want to go to. It's worth the extra trip. Appointments are available most days. Check out the Community Cat Clinic online at communitycatclinic.com or visit them in person at the Walmart Shopping Center at the Shops of Trichum on Highway 92 at Trichum Road in Woodstock, Georgia. More purr, less price. Are you getting your message across to your entire community? Do they know what programs you offer and what they can do to help? Learn more about how to effectively market your organization or just sharpen your skills with a free self-paced marketing course, The Fundamentals of Marketing on Maddie's University. The course is designed to provide a basic understanding of marketing and provide you with templates and tools to elevate and improve your organization's brand, voice, and audience, and have fun while doing it. You'll receive a strategic marketing plan template to download free. Go to university.maddiesfund.org and search marketing to enroll now.
Well, and it sounds like in addition to operating a program, you're also assisting with capacity building for those organizations so that then they will grow to be able to grow in to help support the services that you are providing when the time comes for you, your organization to move out or this program to sunset, because the theory and the desire is to have the island be self-sustaining and be able to support the cats and the community. So I think that's great. You just mentioned, tourists and tourist season and the tremendous increase in the population on the island during tourist season. So sounds like it's a relatively small island, small population there. How do you handle tourists while you're trying to still get the work done?
Well, that's a very particular part of our program. To give you just a small bit of information, so the Paros is in the same group as, I believe, that the most famous island right now would be Santorini or Mykonos. So it's similar style over the summer, so like very intense with tourism. But very contrasting if you think about what winter looks like and what summer looks like. So in winter, it's very empty. I've lived there for 4 winters, and I can tell you it's very different. It is an island that depends a lot on tourism. Most restaurants will close. We do have an airport. It's an only flight to Athens. It's a small airport. They are now considering, they're actually building a bigger one, which, you know, people are very biased. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? Are we going to get more people? We are ready. And then, so you have this very empty island. Not even most people from the island will just go to Athens and spend 3 months there. And then you have this very intense traffic, busy. You know, sometimes you just want to go out and get something to eat, go to the supermarket, takes me 2 hours, traffic. It's very intense. And it has both sides, right? It's very good because in one way we get a lot of visibility. If you think about organizations getting donations and support, the majority of the fund to the local organizations comes from abroad. It rarely comes from Greek donors. So the tourism gives a good spotlight, and it's great. The tourists are all, they also have like this fresh eyes. They come in and they see the situation and they want to help. They will call. So during tourist season, our phones ring nonstop, and we know they have a different thermometer. You know, for us, a cat with a little bit of a flu, not a major issue, but for them, you know, it's of course super urgent. But at the same time, what happens is because of all the accommodations and the hotels being open only in summer, we have a big problem that the colonies dissipate. In winter, there are less feeding spots, so the colonies become bigger, which is also not great because, like, sharing diseases and everything. Of course, with winter, it can be worse that there are so many cats concentrated. But with summer starting, there are so many people feeding everywhere, so you don't see them concentrated as much. So it makes harder for us to go out trapping cats. It's very strange. In winter, you will go big colonies, you come with your traps, it's like less spots to support. In summer, we get more information because we have the tourists being more involved, but it's a little bit of a mixed, desperate information. They want to help. They don't really know how. They have all the good intentions. But then it's the classic, I'm on the ferry, but I saw that cat and I cannot stop thinking about it. It's our classic. Can you please go? It's next to a restaurant XYZ. So crazy scenario.
Right. So almost the communications behind that is you're almost doing more marketing communications in the summertime to educate the tourist population about what trap, neuter, vaccinate, return is all about. But in terms of being most efficient with your time or your team's time with doing the trap, neuter, vaccinate, return, you almost want to upload that or front load it in the winter months so that you're doing more trapping because it's less trapping time to get those cats because they are so much more centrally located. So you do have a seasonality to it, which is very different than what, when we think of seasonality, we think of 10 feet of snow and that kind of thing. But
all right, yeah.
Your seasonality is based on population change. And
correct.
I don't think we think about that here at all in many parts of the states, but we should because there are parts of the area, islands off of Florida and islands all off both coasts, that do have a lot of seasonality to them. And it makes a lot of sense. But for us, then, if it's crowded in the summer and you can't trap, and then in the winter, it's snow and winter, then it makes the trapping season even more shortened and more challenged. But great point, a very great point, because we do always want to focus on having a dedicated feeder, if at all possible. But most cats are fed by six different people. And that's the way cats are going to do. They're going to travel to the best food available. And they're not going to walk into a trap if they know they can get their chicken next door.
In summer, it's so hard. They don't care about our food, our trap, anything. They are so well fed. They're staying in these beautiful villas with lots of love and delicious, I don't know, whatever food they get from the restaurants. But to give you an example, I'm looking at a graphic I had here. So July 2023, we neutered 75 cats. However, in November, 383.
Yeah.
So you can see, like, it's a really big difference.
Which can be challenging with veterinary capacity, too, with the veterinarians, because I don't know about you, but the veterinarians that I have worked with, they would say, we'll do 200 a month, right? They like a nice, predictable, flat line of appointments where we have this variability, and it's not through our own mismanagement, it's through the environment, really.
Yes, it doesn't mean, like, if I can go out tomorrow and I have this perfect colony in mind, I know I'm going to go there, there are these 10 cats I want to get, you know, I don't know how many I'm going to trap. It's really difficult. However, the vets are busier in summer because of all these occurrences. Of course, we have so much more traffic, so I have a lot more accidents.
Yeah.
There are a lot more people on the islands. They bring their pets. They go to the vet, etc. So they're happy that we're not there busy. It worked out well.
Yeah.
But it's a very different shift. Another thing that really affects during summer is that the locals are busy. So we separated our audiences because, of course, we have the tourists, the engaged, the unengaged. How can we provide them the right information so they can get the right support from us and they can give us the right support, you know, without being this conflicting thing that they want to help, but sometimes they make it more difficult. We have the engaged and unengaged locals, but the engaged ones, they are busy. They're busy with the season. You don't hear from them. They are working tourism, long hours, taking no time off. So it's also a time that you're not going to get any message across to the locals. That's what we do in winter.
Yep.
So this is winter time tasks.
So Isa, if there are folks that are interested in finding out more about the work that you do, how can people find you?
We have a website, which we try to make it a one-stop shop for everything cats on the two islands. It's called parasandantiparascats.org. And there they can find out everything that we're doing. We have a heat map of all our colonies, obviously, like particular locations, but information about everything. We publish little articles every other week, and that's a great way for them to be engaged with what we're doing. And of course, the Animal Action Greece social media.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I'm just really thankful to be here. I hope that it was like an interesting perspective on how work can happen on a very different place, on a very beautiful island. It is quite the paradise, and we really hope we can make this a very self-sustainable system for the cats to live their best life.
Isa, I want to thank you so much for being a guest on the show today, and I hope we'll have you on again in the future.
Thank you so much, Daisy. It was a pleasure.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.